Now back to the Weekend Real Estate Report on 105.7 The Fan.
All right, we're back. Weekend Real Estate Report. And as we always do, we've got a trivia question coming up. Winner will receive a $20 gift card courtesy of friends at Deli-ish, the authentic deli right there on Wise Avenue in Dundalk. Open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner. And if you're craving some authentic deli food, almost like you would get in New York, you got to check out Deli-ish. They deliver too. So if you're sitting at work and you can't figure out where you're going to go, I know that our office, we always like, where do you want to go for lunch today? And we have tons of options. For some reason, we can't pick one. I guess it's like Baskin Robbins, 31 flavors, and people just want vanilla. But bottom line is, if you want some great deli food, check out Deli-ish. Here's the question. Eagles, congratulations. Just won the Super Bowl. I'm looking for the third correct caller. That's number three. 410-583-1057. The phone line here. Once again, 410-583-1057. I'd like to know the name of tight ends Ertz's wife, who plays for the U.S. National Women's Team. So third correct caller, Mr. Ertz, who was the tight end, had an amazing game in the Super Bowl. He is married to a famous soccer player. She plays for the U.S. National Team. Third correct caller with their correct name, first and last name, you will win a $25 gift card courtesy of Deli-ish. 410-583-1057, third correct caller. And looks like the phone lines are lighting up. That's good news. We'll have a winner soon. We'll call you off air and connect you with the people at Deli-ish for your gift card. All right. We were talking in the last break about Brewers Hill. Now, when I lived down in Canton, we didn't call that Brewers Hill. That was just sort of Highland Town.
That's right.
And then all of a sudden, like the cities are wont to do when they're trying to reinvigorate the neighborhoods, they come up with these catchy names. So Brewers Hill was there. And of course, didn't hurt that Natty Bo came in and took over that area. But those homes, like when I lived in Canton, I lived on the one side of Conklin Street by the middle school. I had a little row house. It was great. I was one of the first people to have a rooftop deck. It was really, really cool. I remember putting it up there, and then like literally months later, it's like, bam, bam, bam. It was
a rooftop deck. Trend starter here.
Yeah. It was, like, I went up there for the inspection, and I looked up like, wow, you could see the harbor from here. It's pretty cool. Yeah. And then my friend who was helping me renovate, I'm like, you think, I mean, this house isn't that wide. Could we, like, my building skills stopped at Legos at like six. So I get ideas, but I don't know how to build things. And he's like, oh yeah, we could do this. And we'll cut a hole in the ceiling, pull one of the drop down staircases.
I think I've seen that.
You know, some other stuff. And then we even had like a dumbwaiter off the deck that went down because the kitchen was in the back.
Oh, nice.
So we just had a big basket with a pulley and it went down. He put the stuff in, pull it back up. But I remember having like, you know, 4th of July parties and New Year's Eve parties, everything up there, you know. It was nice because your backyard's small,
right?
But up there, you look around, there's no one there.
Right.
So, I mean, you had privacy until pretty much everyone had one. But that being said, you know, Brewers Hills, oh, that sounds creative. I want to live there. Those homes are nice, though. I mean, they're all that brick.
Yeah,
they're a little bit taller, a little bit wider.
They're very similar to the homes in Canton, right on the other side of Conklin. The big difference is that it's that they are a little wider.
Yep.
Especially the streets that run east and west. Mm-hmm. And the parking situation over there is much, much better than that of Canton. And it's a little quieter. But the thing about Brewers Hill that's really starting to take off the neighborhood and has been for the past year or two has been really this CHAP tax credit that we were talking about. You know, most of Canton, Fells Point, Federal Hill, these neighborhoods were all part of the designated CHAP district for, I want to say about 9 years now.
Mm-hmm.
It might even be coming up on 10, but Brewers Hill, for some reason, was excluded from that. And Brewers Hill did not get CHAP approval for the neighborhood until it was the day after Christmas in 2014.
Okay.
I remember that day. It was December because it was about 2 months after I could no longer wait to begin renovations on my house because my wife was pregnant. Because it literally we're now about 3 years into mm-hmm. that CHAP designation for Brewers Hill, we're seeing a ton more renovations happening over there.
Now, this CHAP, do they have like a finite amount per year or?
Mm-hmm. No, there's no, as far as I know.
It's more of you have to qualify.
Yeah. I mean, the idea here for the city is that these are homes that have a very low tax base already right mm-hmm. now. And the idea is that in 10 years' time, after the renovations, after the tax credit is over, you're going to be at the full boat. So it really makes sense for the city from that standpoint where, you know, yes, they're giving this credit, but it's a credit that, you know, they weren't getting that money, you know, prior to the renovations taking place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's creating such a frenzy for more renovations to take place that, as these tax credits expire, the city's going to be in a much better position to collect revenue.
You remember back in the 80s when Governor Schaefer came, or Mayor Schaefer came out with the dollar homes on Stricker Street.
I don't remember that, but I've read
plenty of stories about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, and that was all of a sudden the harbor went from being like, you know, I'm not going there to wow, the destination place.
Yeah. Every once in a while, I come across a client who was one of those benefactors who bought a home for a dollar. Pretty interesting program.
Hey, one of my friends from college, his uncle was one of those people that bought. He was telling me that story, and it's. But I mean, you see things like that that are creative and ingenious, and I think it hurt. I mean, it helps if you have property sitting there and it's vacant and creating other issues, and you get people to come in and do stuff. That's always a good sign.
Yeah, yeah, and you know the big catch with this tax credit though for buyers who are in the market is to understand that it's not a free credit. You know, they are paying a premium for the home because of that tax credit. And so, for example, I think the average tax credit usually runs around $5,000 a year. So over a 10-year period, it's a $50,000 tax credit. You might pay $20,000 more for that house for the right to get that $50,000 tax credit. And the issue that a lot of folks don't really think about, certainly not when they're buying, they realize it when they're selling, is the way that this tax credit depreciates in value.
So it's declining.
Well, yeah, every year is you have a year left. You know, so
no, I mean, but so let's say your example earlier, the developer paid 150 when it was done is worth 400, so there's a 250 gap out of it. Let's say that the next year the person buys the house, takes them a year to fix it up, so there's 9 years left.
But the tax credit begins when the project is completed.
Okay. So they get the whole, let's say they get the whole 10 years.
Yeah.
Let's say that it's 7 years into it and property value is now worth 600. They're going to be taxed, let's say 650. They're going to be taxed on the 500,000.
On the additional growth. Yeah. Good. Yeah. That's not really, that hasn't really been the big problem because there hasn't been some crazy amounts of growth, you know.
But let's think about this. You know, if it's $20,000 more and you're saving $5,000 a year, that's $400 a month. $20,000 is not going to add to your mortgage payment $400 a month.
Well,
but in the scheme of things, if you keep that mortgage 30 years, you're going to pay more than that $20,000.
Oh yeah, absolutely, yeah. But really, the problem comes where, you know, the depreciation of the tax credit itself. So if you're selling the property in 6 years, now there's 4 years left of that tax credit. So and there's 40% of that $50,000. So, you know, you paid $20,000 more of a premium for this tax credit that isn't worth nearly as much anymore. So like the idea is when you buy a home, the value of your home, you hope appreciates, but you have this tax credit that's depreciating and in a lot of ways can offset some of the growth in overall pricing.
Yeah, but for some people, let's say that you had the house for 6 years and I come along and buy it with 4 years left, I can almost look at it as if it was a buy-down mortgage because even if I pay you a little bit of a premium, my monthly payment's going to be low enough for the first 4 years that maybe my income goes up or some other features happen. Yeah, when I go to sell it, I lose that benefit. But if I'm looking at a value of the first 4 years that my PITI is lower because of this, there's still an inherent benefit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's the reason why when we talk and consult with property owners of these CHOP credit properties, we talk about a strategic time for selling too. When you're buying a home, like, you know, you don't want to sell a CHOP credit with just 1 year left. You know, you really don't, you don't want to sell it with 0 years left. That sweet spot in the market really has been with at least 3 years left of the CHOP credit because of that of that exact scenario. It gets people in. You know, first time home buyers tend to feel like they can afford a little bit more later anyway. Like, you know, a lot of folks, it's their first home, so they're, you know, it gives them a little bit of a buffer room and time to prepare. But if you get too close to the expiration, you start to see a very negligible value.
Now, when you're looking at the lack of inventory, supply and demand, you know, multiple offers, escalation clauses, all these other factors, and then people are chasing the tax credit, I would think that that would even reduce the amount of available properties. So are you seeing any buyers, primary residents, thinking, well, you know what, rather than chasing all this, let's see if we could find a house that's not a shell, but maybe hasn't been updated in 15, 20 years, and maybe we'll do a renovation loan and we'll do the house ourselves. And then basically you're getting a house, and especially with these renovation loans, in our experience, the majority of people end up having instant equity because we lend on a future value. So you can get a good deal on a house that most people are like, an investor look at it and say, it's not for me because there's not enough money in there for us. Mm-hmm. But an individual person who wants to live there, a couple, can look at it and say, you know what? This house is below market. I can put in my granite countertops, my rooftop deck and new kitchen, you know, designer bath, whatever, and have, you know, all the things we want in the house. Now, remember, on most of these programs, you can't be your own general contractor, but still there's some features there. Are you seeing anything with that?
Yeah. You know, it's a smaller segment of the market, you know, especially with the millennial buyers who tend to be more on the side of they want everything done and they don't want to go through all the hassle themselves. But for those people who are not afraid of doing some work, or get excited about the idea of doing some work, it's a great program to be able to get in and to be able to select everything you want. And you're not competing now with the shell buyers. Mm-hmm. And you're not competing with the end user buyers who just want everything done for them. It is a soft spot in the market. So it really, I think, in a lot of ways can present the best buying opportunities for buyers in this market. You know, on the flip side of this, though, the lack of inventory of these renovated homes also has created a market for pre-construction CHOP credit properties. In fact, more than half of the homes that sell with these CHOP credits these days are selling before the project is completed and before it's ever actually on the market officially.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, we find buyers who get frustrated with the lack of inventory who say, you know what, we're just going to find something that's not a full gut, but something that needs work. But we also find just as many, if not more, buyers who come to us really seeking to get that pre-construction inventory. So when an investor, a developer purchases a shell, they let the realtors who they know are doing a lot of business in the area, they let them know that, we have this property, we're just starting demo. So those buyers have the ability to still go in there and select all of their finishes. Mm-hmm. So that's another attractive option. So
it's
they
like
get to do
buying
that.
Buying a brand new home in the county, but you're buying in the city. And so for people who are listening now, whether they're buyers or sellers, you know, we always tell people when you're choosing a realtor, you should interview the realtor. You know, just because, you know, your aunt used, you know, Missy from ABC Realtors and loved her doesn't mean that she would be a good fit for you. For people who are thinking about buying in the city or using CHAP credits or anything like this, how can people reach you?
Yeah, well, so my plug here, first of all, our phone number is 410-952-1352. And our website is thesimonegroup.com. It's my last name, Simone, S-I-M-O-N-E. And we have a team of service providers who are really looking to help people fully understand the financial decisions behind a house purchase. This isn't, I joke around with a lot of people, we're not human door openers. Anyone can do that. You know, it's really about finding someone who you feel comfortable is giving you good consultative advice.
Correct. You're looking for an advisor. And if you're a buyer, you're not paying the realtor. The seller pays the commission. And if you're a seller, you want to pay a realtor, a commission, who's going to do a good job representing your house, bringing you a qualified buyer so that 2 days for closing, there's not an explosion or anything else. There's a lot more to it just saying, oh, look at that face next to the house. That's who I want. You know, pick someone because of their expertise and what they can do for you. So once again, throw out your website and email. Email and phone number.
Email is mark@thesimonegroup.com. And the website is thesimonegroup.com. It's thesimonegroup.com. And just to tag onto that, you know, really want to make sure that, I lost my spot there.
You want to edit that out and I'll just end it?
I was going to add something. Sorry.
That's right. You know, it is a great point to tell you what, when we come back, I want to talk about market data, some other things with you. But in the meantime, if you have a deck that's not looking so great, especially now with all the salt and everything else out there, we have a solution for you. Our friend Ron Bowen at Mr. Power Wash, he has a special right now, $199, and he'll power wash both composite or a wood deck. Need your house power washed? He'll do that as well. Building? He does it for us and does a great job. What about painting? He also owns PaintDoctor.com. $499 for our listeners. And you get a painter, including materials, cleanup supplies, or anything else, for 8 hours for one day. $499. Two painters? Get it 4 hours. Same deal. If you need the whole house painted, call Ron and ask him for the other specialists. As for our listeners, MrPowerWash.com, PaintDoctor.com. Ron Bowen, local guy, does a great job. If you need power washing or painting, he's got you covered. We'll come back in a couple. Don't go anywhere.
The Weekend Real Estate Report will be right back on 105.7 The Fan.